Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. And let's stand and read verses 18 through 38. I'll read the first, you read the second, so on. Verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live.
And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples.
And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment.
For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.
But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour.
Amen. And Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the
He said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn.
But when the people were put forth, he went into the right hand, and the maid rose.
And the fame hereof went abroad unto all the land.
And Jesus departed thence. Two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us.
And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil.
When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel.
But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils.
And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd.
Then saith he to his disciples, The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few.
Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've read your word, and it's a beautiful word, and we thank you for it. I do pray that you would give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, that your Holy Spirit would take your word, touch every heart and life that's in here. We ask for your blessing. Ask you to bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. Now, here's a man that has an awful lot of faith. His daughter is already dead. He's seen her expire. And he goes to Jesus and said, If you come, she'll live. That's tremendous. And then you have the woman with the issue of blood, and she's been sick for a long time and had a whole lot of troubles. Then you got two blind men. Man, I'm telling you, he's doing everything. And then it says he healed every sickness. He's not preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but he healed every sickness. And then verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. You know, I watch the TV, see the refugees, and see these little babies and these little kids. And how you would like to do something for them if you could. But sometimes you just can't do anything for them. But they ought to move you to compassion. Now, we have people in our television and radio industry and whatever, they're very good at working on our emotions. I mean, they'll have me feeling sorry for this little puppy dog, you know. And they got all sorts of things like that. And you know, there's just so much of it is graft, and so much of it is just cheating and lying. And I had a fellow jump me one time. He was at an ice house, and he said he knew I was a preacher because I was witnessing to him over and over again. Well, he wanted me to give to some charity that they were doing, and I said no. He said, "Boy," he rebuked me, "you're a preacher of the gospel, and you don't have any compassion, and you don't give to any charities." I said, "If the CEO makes over $100,000 a year, I don't give to the charity. I give other places, and I do give." Let me tell you something. We need compassion, but we don't need a whole lot of professionalism and things that really don't do us any good. And that's people making great big money off of your sympathies. And that's a terrible thing, and I don't want to get anywhere near it. But he moved with compassion. And I'm sure you're moved with compassion sometimes. Now, when it says he was moved with compassion because of this multitude out there, then in verse 37, he makes this statement. "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Literally. Thinking about this, got a hold of my mind. Prayer is one of the biggest doctrines in the Bible. If you want to count the number of verses applied to it, the prayers that have been copied down and put into the Bible, it's one of the biggest doctrines of the Bible is prayer. Every time we come here on a Wednesday night, we sit down, 50 or so of us. We break up into small little groups. I'm amazed. I'm continually amazed to think that the God who created all of this would listen to me. Now, that impresses me. And it doesn't quit. In fact, the older I get, the more I think about it. And he not only listens to me, he listens to you. Now, my prayers are great, but, you know, he listens to you. Have you ever had your little kids praying? Is that a lot of fun? Yeah, it can be. Bless you, or you teach them to pray. I taught them mine to pray when they were young. I didn't let them run on and on and on, but we got them in to make a few sentences of prayer. Think about it. I have had a lot of things, a lot of people talk to me in my life. I really didn't want to hear what they had to say. You ever been that way?
Amen.
I've had kids come up to me, and I've got a space about this far. Don't get inside that space. You know, now that just bothers me. I don't want you up in my face, you know. And so I will just back up a little bit, then back up, and if I can get a stick. And God puts up with us. It's an amazing thing to me. We come here on a Wednesday night with a very strict purpose to pray. We're going to pray. We want to talk to the God that made the universe, and we're going to ask him our petty little hurts,
amen,
pains, insults. I've canceled a lot of marriage people, husbands and wives. Have you ever thought about how stupid some of your arguments are?
Amen.
When you have to repeat it to another person outside, it's almost funny. If it weren't so tragic, people get divorced over stuff like that. And you got all these things. Well, what do you think God thinks about some of your prayers? Now, have you ever had a child of yours pray and it was sort of foolish? and you're thinking, well, I don't know how I teach this, and you try to teach them how to pray something substantial or whatever. I sometimes think about God when we bring our little petty things up before Him. Sometimes they're great big issues. People are dying. People have real problems. Loss of job, loss of health, blindness, diabetes, heart attacks, all sorts of things that people have their legs amputated. Man, there are a lot of tragedies in this life. And we need to pray. Bless your heart, you need to learn to pray and to keep on praying. But I thought this was a very interesting position here. He said the harvest truly is plenteous. Well, now, I don't know exactly how many people are in San Antonio. We're a little church in the west side of San Antonio. But the sign says it's 1,440,000 or something like that. That's pretty big harvest. That's talking about a lot of people. There are a lot of people. And it's not a matter of them knowing the Word of God and being raised up in church and going away from it, as some people do. Some of them have never heard a thing. They've never been in a Sunday school class. They've never been in a vacation Bible school. They've never gone to the church for a year. They don't know anything but eating and drinking and sleeping and playing, fighting, whatever. We ought to look out at a multitude like that and think that ought to move us to the compassion. Now, it's an interesting thing, not only that God would listen to my prayers. I'm one old man. If I'm 80, I can't believe I can say I'm old. I'm one old man, and I have certain things in my mind that I pray about over and over. I pray about my family. I pray about the church. And then I pray about other things that come up into my mind or come through my knowledge as they come to me. But how little is that in this, just this town? 1,400,000 problems. Every day, every week. Now, he gave some advice here. He says the harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few. I'll tell you what, I've been pastoring almost 60 years, preaching the gospel one place or another, one way or another. And I'll tell you about 80% of the work done on this church is done by about 20% of the people, maybe 10%.
Amen.
Thank you. Isn't that something? 80% of the work, 90% of the work's done by 10 or 20% of the people. Why is that? Somebody's lazy.
Amen.
Somebody's lazy. Somebody doesn't think they're needed.
Amen.
Somebody thinks, let somebody else do it. You don't need me. Let somebody else do it. What about evangelism?
Amen.
If everybody that came here on a Sunday morning witnessed to just one person a week, we would have a lot of evangelism going out. I'm not sure that we even get that much. Are you? Am I off in some la-la land somewhere? Or when you walk out of here, how many people do you witness to in a week? How many people you tell, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven? Harvest truly is plenteous. Man, there are a lot of people that need to be saved. There are a lot of people that need to even hear so they get a chance to be saved. Be nice if we invited and brought somebody with us. We could do that. People have gotten saved that way. It'd be nice if we passed out tracts and knocked on doors. Some people have been saved that way. Some people have been talked to by other people at work, and they got saved that way. But the harvest is plenteous. We're not making a dent. In this harvest that's out here, we're not making a dent. We're not very successful in the numbers that we bring in. Harvest truly is plenteous. But the laborers are few. Now that's the problem. Now what did Jesus say to do about it? This is interesting. Look at that next verse. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What's your prayer supposed to be? God, I got this big city here. 1,400,000 people in this city here. Most of them are lost. They may be religious, but they're lost. They're not saved. They're not secure. If they die, I don't care what the preacher says at the funeral, they're not going to heaven. Lord, send somebody to them. Isn't that what that says? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I told you the story about the guy on the Salvadoranian border with a shovel, and he'd shovel a little bit, and then he'd smoke on his cigarette, and then he would take another shovel and go. I'd have fired him first day. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. It's an interesting thought to me. He's talking about prayer. And by the prayer here, he wants the prayer to be the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. God wants you to be interested in his work. God wants you on the right side of his work. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. God, you're the boss. You're the Lord. This is your harvest. It's going to be cleaned up one of these days. One of these days, it's not just going to be the end of 2016. It's going to be the end period. And God's going to wipe it all up, and God's going to clean it up, bring it all together, and divide the good from the bad. And judgment's going to come, and all sorts of things that the Bible tells us about that they really will tax your mind, your brain, if you think about some of these things. And what does he tell you to do? This is Jesus. And he tells you, he didn't say, you go be a laborer. He didn't say that. He said, you pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Now, let me say this. I don't think you'll ever do very much good if you're not sent out by God. Because every soul saved is a miracle that has to come from God. It's not just an average thing, preach to so many, you'll get so many sales or converts or whatever. No, every person that is born again, the Spirit of God had to bring conviction to them, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, make them come to a conviction and make a decision. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my only hope of salvation. Amen. Jesus is the only one that can pay my debt. And if I don't have Jesus, I don't have anything. Amen. But that's interesting. Pray ye therefore. He didn't say raise big money. He didn't say chain a bunch of preacher boys. He didn't say a whole lot of things. He said pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Well, I tell you the truth. When I got saved and surrendered to preach, I believe God sent me out. I believe God was in it. I believe God came out there in Roswell, New Mexico and knocked on my door. I believe he knocked on my heart. And I was a professing Christian. Been a church member for 10 years. But all of a sudden, God got a hold of me and I had to talk to everybody about it. It got me in all sorts of trouble. I was just in my ignorance, rejoicing in my salvation, and I thought they would be happy. They were not happy. In fact, they got tired of me talking to them very quickly. What a tremendous statement here. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his forest, his harvest. Wow. It's supposed to be the house of prayer. A lot of churches don't even have a prayer meeting anymore. People don't like to attend it. Some of you don't.
Amen.
But I tell you what, prayer is one of the biggest doctrines in this book.
Amen.
God Almighty wants people praying to him. And he wants us praying together to him. What do you got to do? Watch television? That's more interesting than praying? Well, it might be. I've listened to some prayers I thought were a waste of time myself. Sure have. But that isn't what God said. He said, you pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Now let me ask you something. How many of you prayed that prayer this last week? How many prayed it this last month? Did you even pray it at any time in 2016? Did you go to the Lord in 2016 and say, Lord, there's a harvest out there. There are lost souls out there. There are people don't even know their right hand from their left hand out there. There are people out there so ignorant of your word. God, send somebody to them. I'm not going to take your hands. I'm not going to ask you personally. But you just think about that. That's what he said to do. I thought that's amazing. Now, in Matthew 21:13, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. And he was talking to people buying and selling and having markets in the temple area. We don't sell anything here. We don't sell our sermons. We don't sell gospel pencils. We don't sell holy handkerchiefs. We don't sell anything. Everything is supported by the free will offering of God's people. And if you don't give, it doesn't get there. And we've been supporting these missionaries. We put out millions of dollars to mission. Thank God for that. That's sending laborers into the harvest. But he called it a house of prayer. I want you to think somewhere. Go back with me in Genesis chapter 18. In verse 14. You may think, well, Brother Lindell, I don't want to be a fanatic. Well, you ought to be.
Amen.
Why wouldn't you want to be a fanatic for Jesus Christ? He died for you. He paid your debt. He shed his blood. He filled you with his Holy Spirit. He's going to take you to heaven when you die. He's hearing and answering your prayer. I think you ought to be fanatical.
Amen.
Now, I don't want you going crazy. But man, put a little attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done so much for you. Amen?
Amen.
Look what it says in Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Man, old woman. 89 years old. She hadn't had any children. Barren. God said, nothing too hard for me.
Amen.
May be too hard for you. May be too hard for your doctors. It may be too hard for your mind, your faith, whatever, but not for the Lord. It's not. One time they were passing through and the children were shouting, Hosanna, and praise to the Lord, when Jesus is passing through, and the Pharisees want him to stop them. Stop them. He said, if I stopped them, the rocks would cry out. Anything too hard for the Lord? Now, what would that be? The rocks hollering out, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Some things are too hard for your faith. Not the Lord. The Lord can do what he wants to do. The Lord can change your life. The Lord can wake you up. The Lord can move on you in a mighty way and do things you never thought you could do. Anything too hard for the Lord? I'll tell you what. Why don't you start praying for some things that are too hard for you?
Amen.
Sit at the house of prayer. One of the biggest doctors in the Bible. I've read this Bible many, many times. Let me tell you what. There are a lot of prayers in here. You can learn how to pray. You can learn how to pray from the masters. You can learn how to pray from David. And you can learn how to pray from Paul and from the others. Yes, sir. You can sure learn how to pray. Some of you don't know how to pray. Born-again Christians sitting in the house of God, but there's certain things about the Word of God you haven't taken the trouble to read.
Amen.
Much less memorize and learn, think through. It's a house of prayer. And what he says, pray the Lord of the harvest. Nothing too hard for God. Let me tell you what, if we got God really interested, if we got God moving, if we prayed and God answered, it wouldn't be anything for God to save millions. Millions. Have you ever read back some of the revivals? It's amazing. Some of those things are just amazing. Some preacher would come into a community, maybe out in the country, in a community, and he starts preaching. And he keeps on preaching for 6 months. And after 6 months, they've got thousands of people have come in and got saved. And people came from other towns and came and got saved. It's a miracle. It really is. Why isn't he doing it here? Maybe we're not praying. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. There's not anything too hard for the Lord. Is it that God isn't interested in souls? No, that's not the truth. Throughout this Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, God is interested in people. I don't know why. I don't know that if I'd have created all of us, I'd have been interested in what we have to say. And some of you are not either. You just don't say it. But here's God. He said, my house is the house of prayer. Use it for that. How about praying the Lord? How about getting up every morning and say, Lord, save San Antonio. Lord, bring a revival in Poland. Lord, straighten out Mexico. Just wipe it clean with Christians all over it. God, do a work. Do a mighty work in our day. It's a house of prayer. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Is that right?
Yeah.
What it says. Look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. You know what Paul said? I heard about the testimony of what happened to you people at Colossians. And since I heard that, I have not ceased to pray for you. Wow. Can you say that about anybody? Even your kids? Can you say that about me? Have you been praying for me? You've been praying for Bill and Brian? You've been praying for these missionaries that are in Mexico and over those over there in Poland? You praying on a regular basis? Or is it prayer isn't worth your time? Wait a minute. Seems to me like a lot of things get done by prayer. Why aren't we praying? Here's Paul. He said, here's a good little church starting in Colossians. And he said, since I heard of it, I haven't ceased to pray for you. You reckon prayer is more important than you realize?
Amen.
I think it is.
Amen.
I think our prayers are more important than we realize. I remember reading, I read a lot of biographies. I got hooked on biographies when I was doing my bachelor's degree in college. And this one professor got me on them. And he said, you want to know about the history at a certain period? Read the lives of the people that lived in that time. And he was absolutely right. Much better than the history book, you know. Some general moved this, some king did this, somebody did that. You learn what they lived like. Amazing. Well, you know, I read some of these biographies. And I read some of the biographies of Christian men and women. And some of them, they get up at 4 o'clock so they got enough time to pray before they go to work. Anybody want to volunteer? I don't see any hands. Nobody's jumping up. I don't believe any of you are that interested in praying.
Amen.
Shouldn't we be ashamed?
Yes, sir.
I'm ashamed. Shouldn't we be ashamed? You got needs. You got problems. You got homes messed up.
Amen.
And you don't have time to pray. You don't have any burdens to pray about. You don't have any kids on drugs. You don't have any unwed mothers in the house. You don't have anybody out robbing or in trouble with the law. We got a lot of things to pray about. Just in this church, a small little church on the west side of San Antonio, just right here, we got plenty to pray about.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So I'm not really interested in the Bible. Well, maybe you need to pray about it. You might pray and get interested in the Bible. It might change your life. House of prayer. House of prayer. Not just a house for Sunday school, not just a house to preach the gospel, a house of prayer. Is prayer worthwhile? I think it is. I think we, myself included, don't pray enough.
Amen. Yes, guilty. Amen.
That's right, brother. We're all guilty. Do not cease to pray for you. You might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy. You might have a better walk. You might have a better testimony. You might clean up your mouth. You might clean up some of your habits. If you started praying about them and talking to somebody who can do something about it. Look at Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 12. Some of the most beautiful verses anybody ever penned. Giving thanks unto the Father. Maybe you need to pray a little bit and thank Him. Has He done anything good for you?
Amen.
I tell you what, I look over there in Ephesians chapter 2, and I am overwhelmed with how long it's going to take God to show us His kindness. Eons, ages to come. Not just I'm going to give you a 30-minute meeting and explain all my kindnesses to you. No, eons, ages to come. Years and years and years for us to understand just how kind He's been to us. I don't know about you, but I've been spoiled rotten all my life. By my parents, by my wife, by my children, and by my God. Wow. I don't have any reason to complain. I ought to be on my knees every day thanking God for His blessings to my life. I've been blessed. Have you been blessed? When's the last time you told God you'd been blessed? Why don't you pray to Him and tell Him, I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this much life, for this many years. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayers. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sin. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a hope to go with, be with you when I die. Man, you got plenty to pray, praise God for. You really do.
Amen.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Can you imagine that you and me, we're going to partake with saints in light? I don't understand all that, but it sounds awful good to me. Really does. He said he's translated us, delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us in the kingdom of his dear son. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Wow. Do you even remember when you got saved? I do. I remember the load of guilt that fell off of me like a great big backpack.
Thank you, Lord.
I had a load of guilt hanging on my shoulders, bowing me down. And that night, as I was praying, crying, talking to the Lord, trying to get forgiveness for my sins, he lifted that load off.
Yes, yes.
It was like I rose up. Just rose up. Not even 21 years old, just about. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I don't have that guilt anymore. Are you running around free? Why don't you pray and thank God for it? Why don't you get in the habit of talking to him?
Amen.
Why don't you ask him for some things you really do want? Look at Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Do you ever labor fervently in prayer? Well, you ought to.
Amen.
Is that right? Am I wrong? I don't think I'm wrong. I think we ought to be laboring fervently in prayer. You say, well, I don't know how. Well, try it and you'll learn. Isn't that right? This is the house of prayer. God can do anything. Nothing impossible to God. He's told you about moving mountains by faith, crossing oceans by faith, all sorts of things. Raising the dead, healing the blind, healing every kind of sickness. I don't know what we could do. Look at Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. How thankful are you? Bless your heart, you ought to be really thankful.
Amen. You.
All of what God has done. And you're murmuring and complaining because you don't have a new car or you don't have something else. Some of it a little something. You're fussing and fighting over things that make no difference whatsoever. You're criticizing things around you.
Amen.
We are a bunch of wimps. We're a bunch of complaining wimps. God help us. God forgive us. Continue in prayer. Watch, and the same with thanksgiving. With all, while you're doing this, while you're continuing in prayer, you're watching with thanksgiving, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. We got a revival meeting coming up. We need a door of utterance. We got a good preacher coming, sweet wife. God's blessed him. Brought him out of that motorcycle gang. delivered him from jail. He's a good man. I like him. He's going to do some good hard preaching. I'm pretty sure. If experience tells me anything. We need a door of utterance. That's what Paul said. Can you imagine? Here's the Apostle Paul. He's smarter than any of the people he's writing to. He knows more about God than any of the people he's writing to. None of them have been in heaven. None of them have seen the things that Paul has seen. None of them have been filled with the Spirit of God like Paul has. And what does he say? Pray for me. Pray for me. Here's Paul saying, you average, everyday Christians, pray for me that I get a door of utterance. Wow. How about praying for me? And maybe as old as I am, maybe just better pray for Brian and Billy and a bunch of you. But you get a door of utterance. But you get a place where they would let you tell them what you know. Door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Look, if you will, at John 15, 16. Very interesting verse. Jesus is talking to his disciples. I'm transferring that over to you. You have not chosen me. I thought I chose Jesus. I look back. I remember choosing Jesus. But he said, no, that wasn't the way it worked. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And ordained you, set you apart, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Wow. I've chosen you to bring forth fruit. Amen. That's not just in your household with your children or your grandchildren. You didn't really choose me. I chose you. I want you to bring forth fruit. I chose you to bring forth fruit. Reckon you ought to pray a little bit about bringing forth fruit? Amen. How about praying about your testimony? How about praying about what people think of your testimony? How about praying for the rest of the church that we'd get on fire and get a hold of God and let God do some changing, bring about revival? It's a house of prayer, isn't it? Doesn't God answer prayer?
Yes, amen.
Is he worth praying to?
Yes, amen.
I think he is. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. If you turn with me, you might ought to mark this verse down. Why should you pray? Here's a good reason. Now unto him, that's God, that's Jesus, that is able, he's got the power, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now let me go back. We're praying to him that is able to do all that we ask or think.
Amen.
How big is your imagination? Do you have any spiritual imagination? I don't care who's playing ball today, basketball or football or whatever. Do you have any spiritual imagination? Do you have any interest in what God has to say? Or what he could do in your life if you would let him.
Amen.
All, he's able to do all. You can think everything you want to think, he's able to do it. Isn't that what that says?
Amen.
That's what the book says. Then it says he's able to do above all. How big? It might be worth your time to spend some time praying. Above all. How about abundantly above all? How about exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? How big is your God? He's a whole lot bigger than you think.